What a blessing it is to be here at Bethel Church. Your pastor is a wonderful man of God, and you got some great worship here too. And okay, you're good. And I appreciate he's King James only.
Amen.
Years ago, I did an interview with a Beverly Hills architect by the name of George McLean. He had built homes for Elizabeth Taylor and Dean Martin. Was the chief architect for Westlake Village, and he'd become a born again Christian. And I asked him one day, George, when did you realize the Bible was God's word? And he said, I was reading Proverbs 6, verse 6. It said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. I knew when I read that, we didn't know the working ant was a female until the microscope was invented 200 years previous. If Solomon had said, consider his ways and be wise, you could throw the Bible out. Mm-hmm. Well, I was curious one day to see what the nearly inspired version said. I mean, the New International Version. And so I turned to Proverbs 6, verse 6. It said, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. And I thought George might not have become a believer if he had read that, if he had read the NIV. And so I'm so grateful of Pastor Mike using the King James. Today is the first Sunday of the month. By the way, I heard you mention Kenya. I would rather hand out tracts in Kenya and Mexico than any other countries in the world. People are so open. Yeah. When we were in Kenya about 6 years ago, we handed out 10,000 tracts. Maybe 10 people turned us down. I mean, that's unheard of. Yeah. Unheard of. And we were speaking at the First Baptist Church in Nairobi, and I was talking with the assistant pastor afterwards. The roads in Kenya are horrible for the most part, and a lot of poverty. And about 30 people were in the congregation, and I'll never forget talking to him. And he said, you know, we Kenyans may not have much, but we're looking for a city.
Amen.
And I got chills down my spine. He said, there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain. And then he did this, and there'll be streets of gold. And I thought, when's the last time I talked about heaven that way or heard anybody in America talk about heaven that way? So God's got some great things in store for all of us in the future. I want you to remember three things I say today. First of all, the words of Jesus in Mark 16, 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Then 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then the third thing I want you to remember is a quote from an atheist by the name of Penn Jillette. Yeah. In Las Vegas, every December, if you give blood, you can get tickets to see Penn and Teller at the Rio. And so I would go and I would meet, you could meet these guys in the hallway afterwards, they're signing autographs. Penn is an atheist, hardcore atheist. And 1 year I got him a copy of Josh McDowell's Evidence That Demands a Verdict. 1 year I got him Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ. Lee's a lawyer. And 1 year I got him a Bible with his name on it. And he was very grateful. And I went in the following week, not to go to the show, but just to check to see if he had read any of it. And I said, Penn, have you read any of that Bible I got you? He said, I've read the Bible 4 times. Have you read the Bible? Well, I've maybe read 8 books in my life. I listen to the Bible every day. I've had a form of dyslexia. And when I was younger, a half a century ago, they didn't know what dyslexia was. Teachers would say, if you apply yourself, you can do it. Well, I'd struggled with reading. Some of you know what I'm going through, what I went through. And I told them, I said, no, you know, I'd ask them, did you read any of the Bible? He said, I've read the Bible 4 times. Have you read any of it? I said, no, I've struggled with reading, and he just walked away. And I went out to my car, and I saw that my sister had called from Grand Rapids. And I told her what happened. She says, Tim, go to YouTube and type in Penn Jillette and the Gift of a Bible. And so I did, and he's talking about this big guy that had given him a New Testament. I had given him a Bible. And he said, now listen to this. He said, I'm an atheist, but I don't have any problem with believers proselytizing, because if I really believed in heaven and I really believed in hell, how badly would I have to hate somebody not to tell them?
Amen.
I thought, wow. And I went in the following week and I said, what you said on YouTube ought to be preached from every pulpit in the land. A few years later, I was doing an interview with Ray Comfort, and he brought that story up, and I said, I was the guy that gave him the Bible. He said, you were the guy. And I sent him a picture of Penn and I. And so he put it in his movie, The Fool, which you can see at fullyfreefilms.com. It's on the back of the tracks that are out there. But when I hand out those tracks, I say to people, if you know of anybody who's suicidal, have them watch the movie Exit. I talked to our officer friend back there. Whenever I see police officers, man, I'm motivated. Amen. I head over there with a pack of tracks, and I say, thank you so much for your service. And I say, here's some movies, free movies. Just go to fullyfreefilms.com. And one of the movies deals with suicide. I don't say if you're suicidal. I say if you know of anyone who's suicidal, it'll really help them. Well, a group of people that are very suicidal today are our Mormon friends. If you were a Mormon woman, why would you want to go to heaven if your husband is going to have multiple wives in eternity and you're going to be pregnant forever? Now, I've never been pregnant, but I can't imagine it being a wonderful thing, you know? And I was asking when we were living in San Bernardino years ago, I asked a Mormon missionary, I said, how do the born-agains treat you? He said, pretty rough. He said, they'll say we have our own faith and they'll slam the door in our face. And so I told my wife, I said, let's be different. Let's have them in. You cook them your Syrian stew and let's witness to them. And so that's what we did. Well, when I was on the radio on KBRT in Southern Cal, I was going to do a program with Sandra Tanner. She's a former Mormon. And I thought, I want to have Mormons on that used to be evangelical Christians that converted to Mormonism, in addition to having her on. So I went to the ward in San Bernardino the first Sunday of the month, and there was a fellow outside, and I told him who I was and what I wanted. And he said, well, why don't you go inside and meet our bishop? And so I did, a very cordial man. And he said, the first Sunday of every month is Testimony Sunday, and the first service is the testimony service. Why don't you stay for some of the testimonies? I said, well, I'm not dressed. I was in jeans and sports shirt and tennis shoes. He said, don't worry about it. So I took a seat, second to last row, and they started singing songs I'd never heard of before. I remember Lead Kindly Light. I remember Tennessee Ernie Ford singing that one. And then they, no life at all in the songs. Then they had communion, white bread and water. I thought, I'm not touching that. And then they opened it up for testimonies. And they had three women that went up and said, I want to bear witness that Joseph Smith's the true prophet of God, the Mormon church is the true church. And they were all crying. And after about the third one, I said, Lord, this is terrible. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I've given you a testimony. I said, not here. And he said, where do you go when you die? All right, okay. I went up. I was more scared there than I've been in East St. Louis on a Friday night handing out tracts. You know, I went up, and the fellow that I had talked to outside, he followed me up on the platform. And when it was my turn, I walked past him, and I heard him say, don't do it, brother, don't do it. Don't do it, brother, don't do it. When I began to speak, I had this incredible peace just come over me. And I said, this is my testimony. I like to bear my testimony. I got saved when I was 5 years old. My father, I didn't say my Baptist preacher father, showed me a gospel track. He showed me a picture of a sailor tied at the bottom of the ocean to an anchor. The anchor was labeled sin. He showed me Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He showed me Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He showed me Romans 10:9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. He showed me Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I said, but how do we know that's the Word of God? The Bible is the Word of God. And I started sharing about George, and I shared the story about Proverbs 6, verse 6, and then he also gave me Genesis 17, where Isaac is circumcised on the eighth day. That's how we know children are the day to do it on that day, because the blood coagulates more that day. There's more vitamin K in the blood. Then he showed me, he said in Genesis 33, it talks about the stars without number. When the Bible was written, science said there were 1,100 stars in the universe. One scientist said there were 1,180. Time after time, science is caught up with the Bible. Amen. I said, George Washington said the Bible is the best gift God has given to man. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln said it's impossible to govern without God and the Bible. Theodore Roosevelt said a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. And then I said, Brigham Young, and I paused, that's their boy. Brigham Young said, compare the writings of the LDS with Scripture and see if it stands the test. I said, let's do that. 2 Nephi 25:23 says, we're saved by grace after all we can do. I said, how do you ever know when that is? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God.
Amen.
It's a gift of God. It's a gift of
Amen.
God. It's a gift of God. And I repeat that 7 times. And now, at the ward in Farmington here a couple of weeks ago, I said in Deuteronomy 18:20-22, it says if someone claims to be a prophet and they speak falsely, they've spoken a word presumptuously. You don't pay attention to them. I said, Joseph Smith said there are people that live on the moon, they live to be 1,000 years old, and they dress like Quakers. He said there's people, the 10 lost tribes of Israel, are at the North Pole with the Apostle John. And I said, now I haven't been to the North Pole and I haven't been to the moon, but I said, I encourage you to check it out yourself. And then I say, a lot of you women here are very frustrated because your husbands are going to have multiple wives in eternity and you're going to be pregnant forever. Stick to God's holy word, the Bible. And that's when the men start coming towards the platform. And that's when I close with, in closing, for years, your precious Mormon missionaries have come to our home. We've fed them. They've never been anything but perfect gentlemen. It was just a real treat this Sunday to be able to return the favor. Well, one man, I thought he was going to kill me at the Farmington ward, but there were others. There was one man that came up to me. He said, thank you for sharing. And I gave him Sandra Tanner's website, Utah Lighthouse Mission, utlm.org, and then I gave out several movie gift cards that has the Ray Comfort movies on. But, you know, there's so many opportunities we have to witness. I talked to a waitress one time. She said, Christians are the worst customers I have. I said, what are you talking about? She said, they're very demanding, and they leave a small tip, or they'll leave a track and no tip. And I thought back of what a jerk I was in a half a century ago, you know, putting the glass upside down with water and things of this nature. And people knew I worked for a Christian radio station. And I thought, wow. So what I do when I go to a restaurant, I'm very careful about, I leave more than 15%. I leave a track along with the money. And then I ask the waitress, could I talk to your boss? And when he comes, I say, I just want to say what a great job Mary did. I can't thank you enough. Well, Mary, if she's had bad encounters with those Christians in the past, she's going to remember that. And who knows, she might read the track that was given her, you know? It's just amazing. My dad was a Baptist minister, and it was about 60 years ago, we pulled into a gas station in a Plymouth station wagon. I'm the oldest of 6. And Dad said, Tim, get a track out of the glove compartment for our gas station attendant friend. And I said, do we have to hand a track to everybody? We should. He didn't say that. But I've thought about that so many times. You know, I'm a Christian today because of hell. I'm not motivated by that. It was the fear of hell that brought me to the Lord. The love of Christ constrains me now. But I think about my 45th high school reunion. I went in there, and I'm looking at people that have died, and one of the fellows that died was my good friend. And all he knew from me is GD and JC and the dirty jokes and things of this nature. And I thought, Lord, I sure hope he made some last-minute negotiations with you, you know. Dr. Maurice Rawlings was an atheist. He was a cardiologist. And he became a Christian when he was resuscitating people, and they were seeing hell. Think about that. He wrote a book called Beyond Death's Door. He's home with the Lord now. There's also a track out about him. But, boy, it's so important that we get these tracks out. Pastor Mike mentioned Mexico. We've been to Mexico 31 times. The first time I went to Mexico with Mike, my friend Mike Cahill, I was scared to death because we're handing out Why Is Mary Crying, the chick track Why Is Mary Crying, which totally exposes Rome. And I thought, wow. We're going to end up in jail. And so when I would see police officers, I didn't give it to them. I thought, man, this is, And then when we were in Mexicali, I noticed three police officers looking at me in this town square, and I thought, I got to get it to them. Buenas tardes, vaya con Dios. Good afternoon, God bless you. And I gave them the track, even got a picture taken with them. And I think one of the reasons they're so open is because they see all the corruption amongst the Catholic priests. You know, I did an interview with Richard Bennett one time. He's home with the Lord now, BereanBeacon.org. Excuse me. And I said, when you went to seminary, was there a lot of homosexuality? He said the seminary was loaded with homosexuals. You know, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats.
Yeah.
1 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. Hello, who's that talking about? If you have Catholic friends, here are seven questions to ask them. This is in the book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Charles Chinnicky. You can get it from Chick Publications, chick.com. Yep. Number one, you ask your Roman Catholic friend, who came into the world to save you and me? Was it Jesus or Mary? Number two, who loved sinners more when they were here on earth, Jesus or Mary? Number three, to whom did sinners go to for their salvation when they were here on earth? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Number four, do we have anybody saved through Mary's intercessions in the Bible? No. The dying thief on the cross, who did he turn to? Mary at his feet or Jesus at his side? Jesus at his side. Did he do well in turning to Jesus? Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. In conclusion, if my most loving, faithful friend 2,000 years ago was Jesus, now that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, can you show me that he's lost what he had, and what he's lost has been gained by anybody else? You know, Mary had one command in Scripture for people, for believers. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. She said that to the servants at the marriage supper of Cana. She sacrificed two turtle doves. You know, that's a sin offering. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Either the Catholic faith is right or the Bible is right. Now, I do want to ask Mary, because we see a list of Jesus or Mary's Jesus' brothers and sisters in Mark 6, verse 3. I do want to ask Mary, when I get home to heaven, did you ever say to Jesus' brothers and sisters, why can't you pick up your clothes like Jesus? You know, why don't you make your bed like Jesus? He's always helping your father out in the carpenter shop. And did Jesus' sisters refer to him as Mr. Perfect behind his back? I mean, these are just questions I have, you know. But there's so many opportunities that we have. I go to Walmart, and every time I go to Walmart, I take a pack of tracks, and I'm usually out of the tracks by the time I'm through. Now, they've told me inside Walmart I can't hand them to the customers, but I do give them to the workers. I walk up to the workers, I hand them one of those almost time tracks, and I show them the movies on the back, and I say, thank you so much for your service. When you get home tonight, here's some free movies. One of them deals with suicide. I wouldn't have said that 5 years ago. One lady, I gave her one the other day, and she said, my father just committed suicide. I mean, these people are going to go home, and they're going to see these movies. They're going to read these tracks. I mean, this track, Almost Time, talks about how the Jews are fulfilling prophecy. Can you imagine being in the 1800s and hearing that the Jews will go back to their land? It's just desert in the 1800s. But God fulfilled that prophecy. And, you know, my best friends in the service were Jews and blacks because they had a sense of humor. I was stationed in the Air Force in Wiesbaden. And we were the only integrated table. And blacks would sit over there, and the whites would sit over there, not because they were forced to, it just that's the way it was. And when Dr. King was killed in 1968, our cities were burning back here in the States. And I had another friend who said, the problem is the Jews and the blacks. We get rid of the Jews and send the blacks back to Africa, we won't have any more problem. Well, I stupidly started getting stuff from the American Nazi Party. And I started believing it. I didn't hate my friends, but I hated the Jews and the blacks out there. When I got out of the service, I hadn't seen my family for 3 years. Went back home, was talking to my Baptist preacher father about how the Jews own this and the Jews own that. And Dad listened very patiently. When I was finished, he said, Tim, a person cannot be a Christian and hate the Jews.
Right. Amen.
I said, how come? He says, Jesus is Jewish.
Amen.
You know, and then I heard another pastor say, every blessing we have, we owe to the Jewish people. If there were no Jewish people, there'd be no patriarchs, no prophets, no disciples, no Bible, no Messiah. Jesus himself said his salvation is of the Jews in John 4:20. So then I fell in love with the Jews. And one day when I was on the radio, I think it might have been in St. Louis, I was doing an interview with Pat Buchanan. He had run for president. He was always former Jesuit. He had always been hostile towards Israel. And I said, Pat, I said, I agree with a lot of what you stand for, but I disagree with your stand on Israel. He said, oh, really? And a guy called up and he says, Tim, I think you love Israel more than you love the United States. If we were in a war with Israel, who would you side with? I thought, what a great question. I said, I'd side with Israel. He said, see, that's what I'm talking about. And then the Lord just dropped this into my head. I said, sir, the Bible says in Zechariah 12:3, the whole world will come against Israel and God will side with Israel. Now, whose side would you want to be on? You know, I look back on that and I think, I didn't have that scripted out. Where did that come from? That was from the Lord. One day I read Acts 4:13. It was talking about the Sanhedrin when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and realized they had been with Jesus.
Amen.
Regardless of your education status, you can hand out tracts. God will use you. The first time I ever handed out a tract was in Bughouse Square in Chicago. I was working for WMBI, Moody Bible Institute Station. And this is in 1970, and I saw a bum, and I gave him a track, and he grabbed my jugular vein, and he said, I could kill you right now. And he stuck out his tongue. He said, you know what I used to do? And about a fourth of his tongue was missing. He said, my name is Billy Kahn. They called me Big Bad Billy Kahn. I fought Joe Lewis. And I just had such incredible peace. And I thought, and I found out, I found myself saying, Billy, you could kill me right now, and my body would be on the ground, but my soul would be in heaven.
Amen.
Where is your soul going to be when you die, Billy? And that's the key right there. Years ago, I saw a documentary on how people have died, and I saw several black men, this is in Africa, and they were tied to posts. They were going to be shot by the firing squad, and some of them were shaking like crazy, and others were real calm. And I thought, I know who the Christians are. I know who the Christians are. They're ready to go. You can't threaten a Christian with heaven.
Amen.
So I encourage you to get these tracts out there, and especially teenagers. Get the tracts. Just say a free movie on suicide. If you know of anybody who's suicidal, but make sure you read the tract too. We used to stand outside high schools, Robert Rice and I and his two kids, and hand out tracts. When we were in Las Vegas, we got to several high schools. That's an idea, too. We just got to SLU, St. Louis University, Jesuit school, on Friday, and saying the same thing, free movie on suicide. One lady said, we've just had two suicides here recently, you know. So realize that God can use you. I've heard people say, well, that's not my gift. Anybody can do that. You can go to the library. I go to the library, and I put tracts in books. A lady came out of Walmart the other day, and I gave her a tract. She says, I found one of these in the Farmington Library the other day. I said, well, shoot, I know who put it there, you know. But God can use you regardless of your talents.
Amen.
And so I encourage you to stay busy until he comes so you can hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen.
Praise God.